Okay, got it. Well, hello, Mark, recovering from depression, coming from Central Texas. I appreciate you, Shauna, the opportunity to come speak today to our at our meeting. Yeah, thankful for the program. I will say that, and hopefully, as I share, you get to hear the gratitude that I have from the journey the last few years. But I do want to welcome all the returners. I see a lot of faces that I know in this program that been part of my recovery, part of my journey. So I am thankful that you're here today. And then all our newcomers, you're in the right spot. If you suffer from anxiety, depression, you've got some really great people here that A, have walked the walk and are there to support you. And however your journey takes you, they'll be here to work it with you, work the program. So I guess I want to start, you know, when I asked Shauna, I said, is there like a rubric or something that I can do to follow? This is my part of my character defects coming out of wanting to make sure I have everything perfect for y'all as I share. And she shared that I need to focus on the story, but also my recovery and how the program's impacted me. So I'll start out with my story. I want to say that a few years back, I started here because I was in the depths of depression and anxiety. I was at the point of wanting to harm myself. It was not a good place. My marriage was ending. I was in a separation, starting the divorce process. Addictions were taking over, had a hold of me. I also had a really huge ego because I thought I could control everything. And when I could no longer control some of those aspects of my life, things unraveled. And I came to find out that my previous solutions, which were very few, had to change. They were no longer working because I was at the point of death. Had a chance to be voluntarily committed to a rehab center for a few days, which helped me out. And so that's where that kind of took me there. I do want to say that what has come is that I had a lot of fears, and I've never understood the part of anxiety and how that impacted me in my life. I did not have a lot of healthy tools, even though I was a grown adult, very successful in life, have two beautiful kids, had a marriage, you know, at the time that was going in the way I thought it was, but I did not know how to deal with emotion. I had pretty much two very primary emotions. One was anger and one was happiness. And those two served me for such a long time that I thought that's the only way I could apply that. And when it came to the separation and divorce, those did not work because I could no longer control that. And so that brought me to my other reflection, my story about how I had times and still struggle with the inner self-talk, the negative self-talk in life. For me, that has come out the last few years of understanding this part of me, not saying it's no longer taking over all my day-to-day life, but I know it's there and I do recognize it. And I have learned to accept some parts of me that I did not think I had in me, but I realized that I'm very critical. And when perfectionism is not done to my standard, it irritates me. I kind of came up too with my story about the codependency. That was a huge one. I did not know that that could happen in a relationship. I thought I was this great person that had all things in line and did not realize that codependency, when it comes to relationships, you start losing yourself sometimes. And when you start doing that part, you can build some resentments. And that's something that came out from my discovery over the last few years. And like I said, I'm slowly getting better at it. I'm not saying I'm perfect with my resentments or my step forward work, but I am working on it on a day-to-day basis. And I guess the last thing I was going to share about the story that kind of really solidified for me early on, when I came into DA, I was at the bottom, the Warren to Live, found DA, and I started reading the literature, and I want to say, I think it's chapters, possibly two or three, maybe four. I don't memorize things very well, but I just remember the story about building bricks in a wall. And I come to believe that over my 45 years, up to the point that I found DA, I had a lot of character defects that I named these bricks, and they slowly bricked me off from other people in the world. be it from people seeing who I truly was, to interactions with other people, letting them know who I really was, because it was a lot easier to be someone I thought other people thought I should be. It's really easy to mask sometimes my inner self because I wanted people to like me. I wanted things to be there. And when I was not being true to myself, then that went against me in my inner core of being, I thought, a good person, but I thought that's what I needed to do. And so what was a beautiful analogy I heard about those bricks, I've now, during the time in the program, and as I share about my recovery and my program, I've taken those bricks because they're still a part of me, y'all. I realize depression and anxiety is not going to probably leave my life unless, you know, until I you know, pass on and meet my higher power. But for now, I've taken those bricks and I've reconfigured them into my life slowly but surely and made them more into a beautiful garden. And I put this to analogy. I grew up as a farm boy up in Michigan, and I've taken these bricks and I've made little knee walls around. I envision around a vegetable garden, around a herb garden, around a trees, all these different things, because I cannot, I know I cannot get rid of my character defects. They're going to be part of me. I humbly ask God to remove them, but I still have them come out. And when they do, having them at a more manageable place where they're surrounded by some of the good things that have come from my program, I now have the ability to kind of tackle some of these different difficult things that, you know, that life throws at me. So that's the story. And so the recovery started 2 years for me ago. I was in a rough spot. I did not know how to connect or share with people. Like I said, I only had the two emotions that I thought served me well. And so I had to first walk into DA. I was beaten down, y'all. I mean, I only had one other place that I thought I was going to go, and it was not going to be in this living world. And so I noticed that I started to come to meetings, and I started hearing people share. And I started seeing people that, like Shauna said, and that was very heartfelt by you saying, you know, about, you know, being a part of your recovery. There are people on this screen right now that have seen me at my worst, but as I've gotten better, and I've heard their stories about what they've done. And I got to see their hope and their strength and their work. And it's not perfect. I've yet to see anyone say this has been a perfect journey for them, because life has good and bad. What I did find out, though, is when I came to meetings, I started understanding that I had to use a pause in my life, that I had to realize that between the stimulus, whatever it may be, and my response, I had to learn to start using some of those skills to think things through and use some of the tools that the DA program does share. And so that's what I kind of started out with. And then when I came to the meeting, what was kind of cool is that even though we all came on different paths of how we got here, it could be a true death as a loss, you know, from a person that's close to you, from a pet, from a marriage ending, a relationship ending. You know, there's a lot of different ways that can put you in there, because I know that loss to all of us has its own special meaning. And so what I found out early on is that I really started noticing that we have a lot more similarities than differences when it comes to our group. And what I mean by that is when I listen to people's stories, I find that they're giving me nuggets of how to approach something different in my day-to-day life when things get thrown at me that I don't really care for or like. And even though a person may have had a different reason to come to DA, they do have a good story to tell. That's part of their healing process, but it helps me become a better person on a day-to-day basis. So that was a great aha early on. And then I think there's that other connection that really brings us together, is that we all have a common thread, some stronger, some more tightly wound, a bigger cord, per se, a bigger piece of rope, but we all want to stop saddening ourselves. And that's what makes the power of this group such a beautiful place, because you come to a place that understands the depths of what depression can bring you to. You know, and it may be different levels of variations, because not all people may have suicidal ideations. Some just might feel like, I don't want to get out of bed, or I don't want to be productive, or I don't have this. Some feel that there is harm to sell for others. There's a lot of different things that bring us here, but we do have that common thread to want to stop saddening ourselves, to find a different path of what we're going to do in life. And that's that hope part that we talk about in our program. That's the ability to be willing to hear other people share and make that connection. I see that during the recovery part too, I slowly regained self-worth, because that for me was something that I lost. I thought that everything that I had built up to that point 2 years ago was tied to a marriage, tied to my stature in my career, to the relationships with other people, how I was perceived or seen by other people. But I really was lacking who I really was, because I became like this different person to so many different people that I didn't know who I was. And that loss was devastating, because what I had built up with all those little bricks I said before, it got hit by a bulldozer, y'all. It went every which way. And I had to figure out how to pick all those parts up again. And I did. And that's what the program started to show me, is that I was able to have the self-worth where I was deserving of good. I was deserving of having positive relationship with people again. I was deserving to have love again, to have care. I do know that there's also hard times still, that's the acceptance part, you know, in our serenity prayer, things I can and cannot change. But I realized that I am worthy of good things to happen too. So that was a huge thing that came in the recovery. So to walk into what I consider part of my program, and what has helped me with the learnings that comes from our group, I realized that I had to become curious again. And I put that in the fact that I became curious about what I want to do in life, who I am. Curious about learning about these emotions thing that I'm going to tell you right now, and this is not hopefully offensive or not, being a gentleman, being a male, I did not know how to share emotions. I was very, I want to say, possibly from y'all, we heard the Daily Reader today about younger parts of our life impacting us. And I know how I was raised. Emotions were not a very outwardly shown thing by the males in the family entity or the community that I was in. Our ideal was that you had to be strong. You had to put on a tough face, good, bad, or indifferent. You had to get through it and grit through it. And that, like I said, that served me in a lot. That's a part of me that I'm thankful for, because it serves me in a lot of good ways to get through some really difficult things. But when it came to the language of love in the heart, which brought me to my knees a few years ago, I was a juvenile. I was a baby, a child. I was a man child. Let's put it that way when it came to that part. And that was a huge relief to me, because now I'm wanting to become a better person by understanding these emotions. I'm not saying that all the time the emotions drive my cart. I try to use sometimes logic in there by using other people's input, my own research. But I do understand where these emotions are coming from now, so they don't drive me into a very negative way, how I deal with a situation or on a day-to-day basis. Another part of my program that I noticed that really helped was the openness and being honest with people. Because before, I've shared this with people in this group that are on the screen right now, I don't have a lot of friends. I'm friendly with a lot of people. I am probably your best extroverted introvert. I can get along with a lot of people, and that's just a part of my profession and who I am. When it comes down to knowing who I truly was, though, you were not going to get in there, because that was a very personal thing, and I was not going to let you know too much, because if you knew about me, you may hurt me, or I may give something away that may make you think differently of me. So I don't want people to know some of the underbelly of myself, and so I was very protective of that. And this program taught me that being open and honest is part of the healing piece. And you got to know who you're talking to, because not all people understand what depression, anxiety, or suicide is. I want to tell you right now, family members, friends, they may care, or they may be willing to say, I want to understand, or I want to help. It's also the point that you need to seek out people that do understand. And part of the DA program is, yes, a lot of us come here with different levels of that understanding. We also have therapists. I want to tell you that right now. Your psychiatrist, there's honesty that came out of this. And I'll be honest right now, I was not honest. I learned how to lie very well to people and not let them know who I was or what was going on, either physically or emotionally or mentally. And that was a detriment. That's what almost brought me to my demise. So if I could tell anyone, part of this program is truly being true to yourself and being honest with yourself, and then finding the people that you can be honest with, and then having those conversations, because they're there to help you. I will say that's the beauty of that program. Another part of my program, I had to learn to surrender to my higher power. And that was a hard one, because that's when you have ego as big as mine, or I still have it. I think it's kind of deflated now. It may have come down a little bit, but I know my ego, I was my own higher power for a lot of different parts of my life. And when I can no longer control all that was going on, I had to say, enough's enough. How I'm steering this ship, how I'm leading my life is no longer being successful. It's going to put me in the grave, and I need help. And as soon as I was willing, things started lifting and things started working. It was not fast. I'm not going to say that in a week or two it was perfect. It was a several month process to slowly give that release and to work through that thought with my higher power and to build that relationship, because I was raised in a Christian life, Catholic lifestyle. And I thought that I had a good relationship, but come to find out, I do have a relationship, but I had a warped one. I will say I let a lot of things that dogma or church or different doctrines that share with me that I had a vindictive relationship with my God, because if I did something wrong, I was going to be punished or things along those lines. And I've learned to have a better relationship, a softer relationship with my higher power, with my God, because my God wants good for me. And hopefully your higher power, as you make that connection, whoever it may be, or whatever it may be, you know that that higher power does have good intention for you. It's not the vindictiveness. And that was a great aha, because then I started softening my heart. My shell was no longer as hard. It's still there. I still have like some protective shield layers on myself, but they're slowly healing and softening, so I can talk with others about that. The part of my program also that made a huge impact is the openness to suggestions and the willingness to listen to people, because before I thought I had all the answers, and I was very much like, I was very quick to respond to the first people. When someone said something, I was, you know, sometimes thinking of my response already or not willing to hear what they had to say. And I've learned to step back. And when I'm in these meetings, gosh, there's a wealth of knowledge. Every time I come to a meeting, something comes out where I know I can take an actionable step to not feel anxious or depressed. And that's just being open to hear and to listen to the suggestions and the power of the higher power or the group conscious that we have. So that was a very powerful part of my program. Reading the literature, I would go to say that if you've not bought the big book, the 12-step book, and also the workbook, and maybe the Daily Thoughts for Higher Days. I'm not trying. I don't get paid. I don't get any pennies from this. I have no stock in DA except for the beauty of the program. There are some actionable things that came out of that taught me, back to me being, like I said, a juvenile when it comes to emotions. There's parts in the book that taught me things that I was ignorant about, or dense, and I became more understanding, and I learned about it. And as I worked through them, I had a greater understanding about myself and where some of these inner turmoils or this inner critic that I have has come from, be it from childhood, relationships, work, all the different things that you put in your step four. it's there. You work through it all. I think the part of the program that early on that taught me a lot, and I heard from people, is to do service. And there's the opportunity. So this is my shameless plug too, for people to get involved. You can do anything from chairing a meeting. That may seem scary at first, but there's a script. people will help you with technology. You're not alone. There's also the ability to post higher thoughts for down days. There's opportunities I know with right now that they're wanting to collect stories about people's, you know, experience, strength, and hope. You can do service, because I'm going to tell you right now, your story will help someone in some way. And by willing to serve and to give back, it gets you out of your own thoughts and your own heart and your own mind, because sometimes we get wrapped up like all about me. And I know I'm very good at that, because I think that the world should revolve around me. I have a shirt that even says that. That's on the days I'm feeling a little arrogant, I'm being a little cocky. But there's that part. And as soon as you get outside of the ego, for me, I do feel better if I have a chance to serve. I know Thursday night meetings are fun, because I get to chair, but I get to see a lot of people that I got to, I guess, grow in this program. So service plug, that's a good thing there. Working the steps, am I at 20? Okay, cool. Yeah. I'm wrapping it up. I appreciate Richard. Nope, I'm wrapping her up. You're helping me keep in line there. Working the steps with a sponsor is very huge. And I want to tell you right now, you need to work the steps. Don't get stagnant. There's a part of the program where I had a great sponsor that pushed me. He goes, you know, yes, once you do 1, 2, and 3, you make the commitment. 4, start doing the work. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Don't get caught up on step 4. This is one suggestion that I heard early on that really helped me, which was, as you make all these lists of resentments, all that good stuff, there's probably 4 or 5 people, things, or entities that consume 89% of your issues. So tackle them first. The other ones you can come back to, because guess what? The program does not end after step 12. You still come back and you work all 12 steps. So get the big ones out, so that way you are working the cycle. So anyone that's stuck on step 4, I encourage you to keep on pushing. And then my last thoughts are this. Depression, I found out, loves to isolate us. And it likes to keep us alone. And that's the purpose of why we come to these meetings and why we come as a group and we come to share. And my depression loved it when I talked to nobody about anything, because it had me, I have a captive audience. And a lot of bad things were going to come from that. Instead, DA has been a beautiful place where I've learned being honest and truthful. I wrote down this term, I'm not saying it's a quotable one, but it's, you don't hide the poop, because what? It still stinks. Just because, you know, good things happen and bad things happen. Don't try to hide stuff away where people can't see it, because that's part of life. And I tried to make sure everyone thought I was such a perfect person, that no, I do have some warts and scales too. So with that, I want to say thank you, Sean, for letting me come speak today. I want y'all to know that I don't know how this works, but it does work. And it's part of that miracle of our group. So thank you for letting me share my story and what the program's meant to me.
Thank you.